Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Now, straight from the headlines, we bring you the latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery, and my guest today is Dave Patterson. Dave is a Ramona resident, a Vietnam War veteran, and the past president of San Diego Veterans for Peace. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks, Miriam. Glad to be here.
Dave has been involved in many issues through the years, but most recently he has taken on the issue of drones. Veterans for Peace has an event coming up on August 15th. Dave, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, thanks, Miriam. On August 15th, we'll hold our one-year anniversary of demonstrations in front of General Atomics in Poway, where they make the Predator and Reaper drones. And we would like everybody to come out and help us. We need to raise visibility on the drone issue. And Medea Benjamin with Code Pink will be there. And we're hoping that a lot of the people in the peace community and a lot of people that don't like drones and don't like all the surveillance want to come out, and we want them to join us as well.
San Diego is actually a national hub for this drone resistance, for lack of a better term, because so many of them are manufactured right here. Now, Dave, tell us what some of your specific concerns are about the United States' use of drones and why people in San Diego in particular may be concerned about this.
We don't really have a problem with the technology. We have a problem with the way the technology is being used. For example, we're killing a lot of innocent people overseas, and we're using them to surveil people here in America. And there are no laws on the books to protect us. There's no laws on the books to stop the president because Congress abdicated their War Powers Act. So the president is waging wars in places that Congress has not declared it. And he's killing people, and he's killing American citizens who are guaranteed due process, and he needs to be held accountable, and they need to stop doing this.
What would you say to those who argue that these drones or pilotless planes are needed for security? Are there any legitimate uses that you could see drones being acceptable for?
Sure. They could use them for maritime surveillance. It's a great product. You don't have to fly out there all the time, and they're very easy to use. They could use them for finding a few people that get lost in the forest. They're good for that. But the problem is that they're talking about opening the skies to tens of thousands of these things by 2015.
And that's here in the United States.
Here in the United States, and they're going to be using them to surveil us all over the place.
Now, here in San Diego, we would be among the first to have these domestic drones patrolling the U.S. international border. What are some of the problems that that particular application could have, Dave?
Well, we have 10 on this border, and there's 10 on the Canadian border as well. There have been studies done where they say that they're actually only responsible for less than 1% of the people that are catching the people that are trying to sneak across the border. So they're not very effective. So we were sort of surprised when the Senate bill on immigration included 18 more of these things for the Border Patrol or Homeland Security on the border. And we were wondering, why would they do that? I mean, other than it's a big pork barrel project.
What's the latest from Washington, D.C. on congressional action regarding drones?
So the latest is the Senate bill on immigration added another 18 Predator drones to the Homeland Security Border Patrol, which is on the northern and southern border. Despite the fact that they're ineffective, I may have mentioned, in doing anything, they're just going to use them to surveil us. So,
has that bill passed?
Oh, no, it died in the House, fortunately. But I think eventually, because you're talking about a $500 million windfall for General Atomics and other drone manufacturers, I think it'll be resurrected in some form because they want the money. It's public money in private pockets that drives this whole thing.
And we might add, it was not defeated because of the drone language, but more because of other concerns regarding citizenship for undocumented immigrants and so forth.
Right, a path to citizenship was included in the House, said they wouldn't have anything to do with it.
So it could be resurrected and put into a defense bill or something else.
Sure, any way they can put public money in private pockets is good for them.
What is the average cost for drone?
$18 million apiece, so you're talking about $500 million windfall for General Atomics alone, because they're talking about buying the Predator version made in Poway. And then we find out that last year they used these drones for 250 other government agencies to surveil people.
We recently learned another media outlet did a Public Records Act request and found out that our San Diego sheriff actually was trying to acquire or considering acquiring a drone at one point. What are some of the concerns that law enforcement having these could raise? And again, I would ask, are there some uses by law enforcement that you would find acceptable, and what uses do you think would be over the line?
Right now, they can surveil you with a helicopter. Trouble is, a helicopter is very expensive and it runs out of gas fast. But if they could, they would fly these drones and fly them around over your head and you'd never even know they were there. And the other problem is that, you know, state and local governments don't have money to buy these. And what they're projecting now is $10 billion worth of sales for domestic law enforcement over the next 10 years. That money will have to come through Homeland Security grants. And when they do that, the state and local law enforcement become long arms of the federal surveillance state. They'll be working for them, using this technology provided by them, and we're in trouble.
With so many new drones potentially in the skies for so many uses, and I've even heard instances of journalism organizations considering looking into them for investigative reporting, for example, do we have safety concerns?
Well, the FAA is supposed to be fixing or finding a solution to that right now, because they have been mandated by Congress to open the skies to drones, civilian and government drones, by the end of 2014.
To prevent them from flying into each other or striking another aircraft?
Well, I think like civilian aircraft, you know, there are air corridors and they're all controlled. So I'm sure they're trying to work out something like that. So, but even the FAA is saying there could be as many as 30,000 of these things flying over America, and there are no laws to protect us against abuse.
What happens if somebody like a drug cartel gets a hold of these and uses them to spy on where the Border Patrol is or for other reasons? I mean, might we have some sort of rogue drones flying around that could pose additional safety concerns?
No doubt. I'm sure that's going to happen.
You mentioned with law enforcement that another issue is the possibility that innocent civilians could be taken out if they allow law enforcement domestically to have weaponized drones such as we've seen overseas.
Well, just recently it was announced that the Houston police acquired a drone that can shoot a rocket-propelled grenade into your house.
Wow.
And they were provided that through a Homeland Security grant. So there you go.
So if I live next door to you and they decide to target you with a drone, I could be collateral damage over here?
Sure. You know, blow it, shoot it into my apartment and it kills a bunch of civilians. That's what happens over there in Waziristan and Yemen and Somalia. We're blowing up all these innocent people and the government will just say, whoa, Gee, we didn't mean to kill all those people. The kids are just collateral damage.
Do you think this is really reducing terrorism, or could it be having the opposite effect, Dave?
Well, there are some highbrow reports by Stanford, New York Law, and Columbia Law that say that, in fact, we are creating more enemies than we're killing with this technology.
Does the whole idea of flying drones, pilotless aircraft, where we don't have to put a real person at risk. Obviously, no one wants to put a soldier at risk. But you said something rather profound earlier, and I wonder if you could repeat that thought.
Well, first, I'd like to cite the fact that these places, Waziristan, Somalia, Yemen, we are not technically at war there. The Congress has abdicated their war powers to the president since 9/11. And as a result, the president is like a rogue person with this technology. They're killing people all over the place. And so the other thing is that it used to be when you were deciding whether or not to wage war, you would factor in whether or not it was worth sacrificing your own blood. Okay, are we going to sacrifice our own kids? Is this war really worth it? But now with this technology, it makes war too easy.
They're doing
because
it with
we don't have to figure that in. So is it okay to go kill people in other places without putting our pilots at risk? I don't think so.
Where can people get more information about your organization and about the event that you have coming up, Dave?
Okay, you can go to www.sdvfp. It's an acronym for San Diego Veterans for Peace.org. And then also the Peace Resource Center will have some information on it. They are joining us as well.
Very good. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Miriam.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso is on the air, people-powered radio. Please come to our official KNSJ launch party, Saturday, August 3rd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the beautiful Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center.
Come mix and mingle with our radio hosts and our celebrity guests in a spectacular natural setting. Enjoy live music, Native American flute players, delicious food and drinks, stargazing, museum tours, and a scavenger hunt. Golden Mike Awards presented to leaders and activists representing voices in our communities that are underrepresented.
RSVP and buy tickets at www.knsj.org.
On Tuesday, the San Diego City Council enacted a significant reform benefiting workers. Mayor Bob Filner's proposal to require that construction workers on city projects be paid a prevailing wage won approval in a 5-4 vote. The prevailing wage is defined as the most commonly paid wage for a particular type of work in San Diego County. The mayor announced, "This decision to pay a fair, livable wage to the hardworking men and women in the construction business is long overdue. I applaud the city council members who stood up to do the right thing and voted in favor of the prevailing wage ordinance," he said. Members of several construction trade organizations packed the council chambers in support of the ordinance. The mayor introduced it in April of this year, and it will go into effect in January of 2014. The passage is significant on another front, coming amid claims in the media of paralysis in city government amid controversies facing the mayor, including a lawsuit and allegations by multiple women claiming sexual harassment, as well as a countersuit by the city against Mayor Filner over the related legal costs. Mayor Filner has stated that he will enter a rehab program in August, but has refused calls to resign. Meanwhile, a recall election effort was also launched this week. Reporting for KNSJ and East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Iris Neal. Join us for Job Talks, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy.
Job Talks on KNSJ's East County Magazine show is supported by our listeners and by the nonprofit San Diego Building Trades Family Housing Corporation, building our future.
Johnny Simpson is here with us today. Thank you for joining us today, Johnny.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Johnny is the business manager, financial secretary of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 569, commonly referred to as the IBEW. Johnny is here today to talk to us about solar energy and other alternative energy sources. Johnny, green energy has become so important to us in the past few years. Solar energy in particular has become more widespread throughout the East County and the San Diego region. What has the IBEW done in response to the greater demand for alternative energy sources?
We've always trained for every type of electrical installation, including green energy. But over the last 10 years, we've intensified our training. We've even included some wind, geothermal, and recently we put an electrical vehicle charging station in at our training facility that's powered by our solar panels on our roof.
What do you see as the future of solar and other alternative forms of energy?
Well, as I'm sure everyone out there is aware, the price of oil and gas continues to rise, and with that increased cost that comes with that, there's just no end in sight. The industry continues to grow and move forward.
Will we see more alternative energy, and will it lower our dependence on other forms of energy?
Yes, absolutely. As the cost of oil, as I said, continues to rise, other forms of alternative energy becomes a more viable option for homeowners, businesses, everything that we do in our ordinary days.
Is there a commitment by government and private industry to install solar equipment at their facilities and businesses?
Yes, we've noticed a sharp increase as these prices continue to rise. In fact, we're hearing that there's going to be another increase here pretty quick in our region. And as those prices rise, we've seen businesses, we've seen homes, we've seen everybody trying to keep those costs down. And we're getting more and more installations every day. Our contractors, our backlogs are continuing to swell. As far as the government is concerned, pretty much every military base in the nation has now been given directives to try to find ways to put about 70% of their energy needs onto green energy. It's working out pretty well. One of our contractors here in San Diego just installed a large project out at Camp Pendleton for us.
Sounds like this is a great opportunity for folks to go into a new industry. Are there jobs available for folks, particularly folks in the East County?
Oh, absolutely. We're always looking for good electricians. We spend a lot of time, energy, and effort to get those electricians to come down and join with us. But at the same time, a lot of young people that don't have any experience, they can get started in as well through our introductory classifications, or they can join into our apprenticeship programs.
Tell me a little bit more about the apprenticeship programs that you offer.
We have apprenticeship program. It's a 5-year program. We don't just train in green energy, but we train in every aspect of the electrical industry. Electricians can't afford to specialize, but we have a lot of members that do want to specialize in the green energy, and some of our members have gone on to open their own shops specializing in some portions of our industry. However, through our apprenticeship program, it's an earn as you learn. So you work for our contractors during the day, and you go to school 2 nights a week. With that, about every 6 months, you get a pay rate increase. You get college credit for the apprenticeship. So I think you're a couple semesters away of general ed from your AA degree once you graduate our program. And we pay for all of that. The only thing you have to buy is your books. We sell books at cost. We're not in the business to make money on schools. We're in the business to train good electricians for our futures.
So it sounds like the paid apprenticeship trainings are available to anybody. How much does it cost them to receive this training, and how does one apply?
It doesn't cost them anything. It's all free. You just make application. You need to get in our apprenticeship program. You need to be a high school graduate with at least 1 year of algebra with a C or better. Then you'll take a test. Everyone that passes the test gets an interview. And through the interview process, we select those that we feel can come into our industry and have a reasonable chance of success through our apprenticeship program. It's not an easy program. It's not meant to be easy. We're looking for the best and the brightest out there to be electricians.
Is there a high demand for workers in this industry? And what type of positions can they secure once they complete the apprenticeship training?
We have electricians that have been with us, you know, their whole careers. I personally am a 35-year electrician. We have electricians that have never been without work in their whole career. We have electricians that take a little time off, go to the beach in the summers, that sort of thing. So one thing about our nation and our world is there's always a demand for electricity and people that know how to use it and what to do with it and how to install it. So our industry continues to move forward and our unions continue to grow.
What about home solar energy? Do your contractors do that work as well?
Yeah, in fact, the most recent article I read here in San Diego, we have 3 top contractors here in San Diego doing residential solar installations. They're all IBEW contractors and utilizing our members to do those installs for them.
Currently, I understand there's a lot of work available in Imperial County. How long do you feel that will continue?
Well, I'm currently sitting on about 3,500 megawatts of signed contracts in Imperial Valley. A lot of those jobs, they're on different projects, and a lot of those jobs may or may not start. The vast majority probably will. We're working on 4 projects right now that equal about 500 megawatts of energy. And in those projects, we're a little over 1,100 guys working on those projects right now. Around San Diego and Imperial County, I think I've got about 1,300 to 1,400 members right now working on green energy jobs.
Have you seen an influx of East County residents commuting to Imperial County to work in this field?
Yeah, Imperial County, pretty much we drive everywhere. We drive our local 569's jurisdiction goes from the Mexican border all the way to San Clemente and from the water to Arizona. So our members are used to driving a little bit. So the East County residents, it's a little easier for them to get down to Imperial Valley than it is to get to, say, Camp Pendleton. So a lot of our East County members are working in Imperial Valley right now. It's hot down there, but they're doing a good job, and they get paid a little extra to work in that heat.
Johnny, what is the pay rate while they're training?
It depends on what classification you are as far as your pay rate is concerned. We have a lot of young folks coming in with no experience, and they're not in the apprenticeship and all of that. We call it a starter rate. And they can earn about $18.50 with benefits and all of that. It's about $12 on your check, and the rest you get health care and a small pension. For a first-year apprentice just starting out, it's about $15 an hour. Plus benefits, so it's, I think, about 22, somewhere in that neighborhood. But you get, like I say, every 6 months you're entitled to a raise, assuming that you got your hours in and completed your class, and you'll get a raise every 6 months. For an apprentice, again, it's a 5-year program, but when you turn out of the apprenticeship as what we call a JW, a journeyman wireman, guys in Imperial right now, as I said, get a little bit extra, so their total package right now is about $54.50, somewhere in that neighborhood. But that includes their health and welfare and their pension.
Wow, that's great. How about after they graduate from the apprenticeship program, they're actually on the field? What is the going rate for positions in this field?
Well, we have a lot of positions available. Our journeymen wiremen are our most coveted group, and obviously they're our most expensive group. But at the same time, these guys stay working. Our industry is one that, again, you can't specialize. You can't be just working on one thing. You have to be able to wire a house or work on a nuclear power plant or a solar plant or anything else. That's how we make a living in our industry. And our folks have to be able to do all of those things. And we get that through continued training. Our apprenticeship building is not just for apprentices and other classifications. Our journeymen are required to continue their training as well. In fact, here in California, in order to work as a journeyman wireman in the commercial field or the residential field, you have to pass a test called a state certification test, and that makes you legal to work in the state of California.
It sounds like they can take this training and work in other states as well. Is there a lot of folks that are doing that? This is so transferable skills.
Yeah, throughout the IBEW, we're nationwide in Canada. We have our members working around the nation right now. We have members from other areas coming into our area to work as well. We call it traveling. It just depends on what a guy wants to do. When I turned out of the apprenticeship, again, 35 years ago, I traveled around and spent about 3 years on the road working in different areas. A lot of young guys like to do that. You can follow the big jobs, make a lot of money, get a lot of overtime, all of that good stuff. But, you know, once you get a little bit older, you sort of like to stay a little closer to home. So you hope that there's plenty of work in your area to keep you busy.
Great. And is there a lot of opportunity for folks that are like midlife trying to change careers, second careers?
Sure. We don't have any age discrimination or any of that sort of thing. All of our folks, our apprenticeship class works out pretty well. We have some young folks in there, fresh out of high school, first job. And we have some folks that have been in the industry for a while, maybe working as an electrician, maybe working in other fields, and decided they wanted to make career changes. And we find that really works out well for us in that some of the younger guys see the older guys, and they understand what the older guys seem to think, know what they're getting into, and be able to help the younger guys along. Maybe they've been out of school for a while, the older guys I'm speaking of. So the younger guys help the older guys get back into good study habits and those things so they can pass our schools.
And how does one go about finding out about joining the union?
There's actually three places you can apply. You can come to our union hall here in San Diego. It's at 4545 View Ridge Avenue here in San Diego. 92123, or you can go to our Imperial Valley offices. That's located at 2420 Imperial Business Park Drive in Imperial, California, 92251. Or you can, if you want to apply for our apprenticeship program, you can go to our training facility, and that's located at 4675 View Ridge Avenue, and the zip is 92123. Or you can just go to positivelyelectric.org. And that'll take you right to our training facility, and you can make application.
Does the training program start at certain times during the year? Is there a time that they have to apply by a deadline? Or are they ongoing programs that they can apply for at any time?
Yeah, we give the test twice a year. So if you're interested in the apprenticeship program, you need to go ahead and get signed up as soon as possible. We give the test twice a year and generally interview twice a year for positions. We start a class every semester. We run on a tri-semester, meaning that it's not like high school where you just go two semesters. We also have summer class as well. So we have a tri-semester going, and we influx our people based on how they did on their test and interview.
And does this work well with someone that is working in another field right now, saying working a regular 40-hour job but wants to transition into an apprenticeship with your program?
Yeah, it works out real well. We have a lot of folks that have come from other industries that maybe they were construction workers, maybe they were working retail, maybe they were doing other things and decided they wanted to become an electrician, and they came down and took our test and did well on the interview, and now they're working as apprentices in our program or have already turned out and they're journeymen wiremen.
Do you find that there's an influx of women entering this industry?
We've never had those types of issues. In fact, there were two women in my apprenticeship class. One of them lives in East County here. She became, to my knowledge, the first woman president of an IBEW construction local in the nation. So she did very well. She was a foreman at one of our major contractors here in town for a lot of years before she retired. In fact, we're always looking for women that you're getting out there, you're getting dirty, you're getting cut up, you're doing all of those things. But if you like working outside and you like using your hands and you're mechanically inclined, come on down. We can use you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Johnny Simpson, from the Business Manager, Financial Secretary of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. That's Local 569, commonly referred to as IBEW. Thanks for being with us today, Johnny.
Oh, thank you.
Lions, Tigers, and Bears, a big cat rescue facility in Alpine, is mourning the loss of one of its most beloved tigers this week. Sitara, a Bengal tiger that was born and raised at Lions, Tigers, and Bears, has died of a ruptured disc. The Big Cat Rescue Center is a no-breeding facility. However, Sitara was one of two cubs born to Natasha, a pregnant tiger rescued over a decade ago. Bobby Brink, founder of the facility, called the tragedy very sad news and said the tiger was like a family member to her. Brink was near the tiger's enclosure when it was running and collapsed, unable to move her back legs. An MRI showed a ruptured disc. The animal underwent immediate surgery, but it was discovered that her spinal cord had been severed by pieces of the ruptured disc, and Brink said there was no choice but to let her go because it would have been inhumane to leave her in that condition. Brink rescued Natasha and a male tiger, Raja, only to discover that the tiger was pregnant. Sitara, which means Star of India, and her sister Tabu were born at Lion, Tigers, and Bears on November 8, 2002. A fund to cover Sitara's emergency medical expenses has been established at www.lionstigersandbears.org.
For KNSJ and the East County Magazine Show, this is Miriam Raftery.
Howdy! East County Magazine and KNSJ invite you to our Barbecue and Wild West Fest on Saturday, August 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the historic Descanso Town Hall in Descanso. Round up your friends and family for this fun-filled event. We'll have a Wild West show featuring the Hole-in-the-Wall Gang and the Gaskell Brothers reenacting scenes from our region's colorful Western past.
The Pine Creek Posse Band will provide live music, so grab your partner and bring your dancing shoes, or should we say cowboy boots. Plus, the Descanso Junction will be cooking up a tri-tip barbecue feast. We'll also have prizes and surprises at our Wild West Fest, which is all a benefit to support our wildfire reporting, alerts, and nonprofit community news. Yee-haw! Reservations are going fast, so save your spot now for our August 10th Wild West Fest. Call 619-698-7617 or email editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Today, you can also find more details at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine, the voice of East County. We reflect your interests, the people's interests, not special interests. As a nonprofit, we rely on community support. You can help us provide community news and reflect a rich diversity of voices by donating or becoming a sustaining member at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
We are on the road in East County at the Mission Trails Regional Park, in many ways the heart and soul of San Diego County. I'm Leon Thompson, and I'm here with our intrepid traveler, host and East County Magazine editor, Miriam Raftery. The very first thing that struck me, Miriam, is that such a beautiful place, so rich in San Diego history, is so accessible. This is essentially the geographical center of the indigenous people of San Diego, the Kumeyaay. And it's easy to see why, with flowing water, lakes, and abundant vegetation, all protected by tall cliffs and mountains. It's no wonder that this very spot would be the center of Kumeyaay life and so much of San Diego's history.
Mission Trails is the largest urban regional park in America, with close to 6,000 acres. It has a spectacular visitor center and a museum where you can learn about the wildlife of the region and the Native Americans who used to inhabit this area. Let's go in now and listen to some of the interactive displays where you can hear wildlife of the region, such as coyotes, mountain lions, owls, hawks, eagles, and much more. Listen, and see how many wild animals you can hear.
What really brings the park alive is the work of the Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation, and the person most responsible for providing and promoting the educational and recreational opportunities is Jay Wilson, the head of the MTRP Foundation. Here he is talking with Miriam Raftery. Let's listen.
Jay, what's it like working in this spectacular setting?
Not very many people have an office of 5,800 acres, but I'm one of those fortunate people.
So it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
It's tough, exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about the park.
This building here at the Visitor Center actually opened in February of 1995. The foundation, which I'm affiliated with, is a support group. The city owns all of the facilities and all of the grounds.
Now, they have a lot of activities here.
Within the park, we have 40 miles of trails. So you can go hiking, you can mountain bike, ride a regular bicycle, jog, you can rock climb. You can ride a horse if you bring your own horse. There are about 6 miles of horse trails in the park. If you're interested in a guided tour, every Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday at 9:30, we offer a free guided walking tour.
Bird watching tours?
We have bird watching tours. It's on the website.
Now, do you have lessons in those? I want to learn how to go rock climbing or mountain biking.
We don't. There are several firms, REI and Southern Terrain, which offer rock climbing schools. That's private. It's really cool. Then you come into the Visitor Center, which is a cool zone during the summer.
And it's a spectacular library, by the way. We're sitting here doing this interview in an almost 360-degree view library, glass walls. It's a, like I say, rough place, kids, if you got to study somewhere, but this is it.
This is it, yeah. Sometimes I come in here, particularly if it's raining during the winter.
Fireplace.
Watch the rain come up through the gorge. We have campground. We have 46 great campsites for rustic camping, but no campground operating at the moment. We're city, so they closed it actually in 2011. It's been closed almost 2 years.
What would it take to reopen it?
And it's about $136,000. So it was actually in the proposed budget for the fiscal year 2014, but it didn't make it at the last cut. It depends.
So maybe one of these days, though, it'll get reopened
again.
We
hope so, absolutely.
Now, the visitor center itself is quite spectacular. Not only do you have the indoor facilities, you also have spectacular outdoor patios that overlook beautiful scenery, and you have a magnificent amphitheater out there where I understand you sometimes have some free outdoor entertainment. Tell us what's coming up.
The third Sunday every month at 3 o'clock, we have a concert here in the Visitor Center. We have a 93-seat full-blown theater inside the Visitor Center. And then our programmed outdoor concert is with the San Diego Native American Flute Society.
And beyond flute playing, you have some other activities as
well. We've had some plays that have been put on by San Diego State.
Tell us about some of the things that you do for the young people of the community.
We have, through San Diego Gas Electric, we have been the recipient of several grants. Mm-hmm. And as a result, probably had close to 10,000 children go through here in the last 3 years through the foundation. The city has a program where they run about 7,000 children through here a year, but with San Gas Electric, we actually at some point visited the classroom with one of our education program instructors. We go in with live animals and talk about plants, get them ready to come to Mission Trails, and they come and have a guided tour. We work with the Boy Scouts. We're actually starting a pilot project with Boy Scout group in San Carlos. We're going to work on an astronomy merit badge through our contacts with the San Diego Astronomy Association.
Now, you also have stargazing parties at night, and those are also free, right?
Those are free, and those are held practically down at the campground. You can go on the website, and it'll tell you when they're there. And they start at dusk and run until about 10 o'clock. And it's free.
Now, you also have a gorgeous rock-lined art gallery here where you have different kinds of art shows.
We had 97 different artists submit artwork, and we selected about 25 of them, and we have 10 month-long art shows a year. In between that, we have a photography contest, an amateur photo contest we've run for 21 years. But the art is up for sale, and for any purchase, 25% of that goes to the Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation.
Of course, there's the museum that we've already talked about as we've gone through that has a lot of information on Kumeyaay history, Native Americans, wildlife of the park. There's also a gift shop here.
Gift shop, yes. It's an educational gift shop. We just got in a great collection of handmade pots and pine needle baskets.
Beautiful carved walking sticks.
Beautiful carved walking sticks, yeah. And the pots and the pine needle baskets come from the Pai Pai tribe, which is affiliated with the Kumeyaay south of the border in northern Baja.
You also have a number of classes here.
We have two programs for children. One is Linda Holly's Nature Adventures. She'll start back up in September. It includes songs of hers, and she shows live animals and pelts and talks about plants and bugs. And that's really interesting topics, primarily for children 3 and up. And then on most Saturdays, we have an art class for children 4 through about 14, conducted by Nora.
We have Explore Mission Trails Day, which is one of your big events every year.
That's our real big event, and that's where probably everything in the park is free. Third Saturday of May.
Now, it's a little-known fact. Organizations can actually rent this entire venue if they're having a special event.
Corporations and nonprofits will use the facility after hours for fundraisers and primary activities. There's a 4,000-foot terrace out here, and then they rent the building itself and the terrace. Of course, this time of year, it's great when you have an evening function.
Speaking of evening functions, we are having the party of the year here as the launch party for KNSJ coming up on August 3rd. Beautiful Saturday night. We're going to have some stargazing. And tell us a few of the things that you've got lined up.
We'll have a couple of trail guides that will be here walking around talking to people, because certainly a number of people have never been here before, so we're always interested to talk to them and get them interested to come back to the park. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of Native American flute players that will be here performing, and the San Diego Astronomy Association will have a couple of telescopes up on the terrace. And I've been amazed over the evenings that we've had here. A number of adults have never looked in a big telescope.
KNSJ is going to be bringing in a lot of speakers, a lot of leaders in the community. They're going to be giving away some awards to different people in the community and having some great food and other kinds of music. And it's just going to be a really fun evening and something not to be missed.
Yeah, there'll be lots of food and entertainment, and it should be a great event. We're looking forward to having everybody here.
Fantastic. Well, we are all looking forward to it, Jay. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
You can find out more about Mission Trails Regional Park at www.mtrp.org, and you can get tickets for KNSJ's launch party at Mission Trails at www.knsj.org. And this concludes another edition of On the Road in East County.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. Today, I'd like to tell you a little bit about some plants that I think are probably not a real good idea for you to put in your garden. Probably number one on that list is going to be horsetail. Horsetail is a really cute plant. If you see it, you're going to just love it. It's upright stems. They're bright green. They're very unusual looking. They look prehistoric because they are prehistoric. They're loaded with silicone, and they were actually used to, the housemaids in the Middle Ages in England would grab a handful of them, wrap them around their hands, and then scrub the pots in those big castle kitchens with them. So they're really entertaining looking plants. They are great in flower arrangements, but what happens if you put them in the ground? Well, you could ask the landscape architect who thought it was a good idea to put them in the ground in front of the Rancho San Diego Library a few years ago. And also, he put them in the ground in front of the city library down at IKEA. And at great expense, they had to remove all of the landscaping in order to kill them. So horsetail, otherwise known as equisetum, don't put it in the ground because you will not be able to control where it goes. Another one you won't be able to control, and I love this plant, is Motilaha poppy, the Rhomnea coulteri. It's a beautiful, it's known as the fried egg poppy because the flowers are huge white poppies. They're 6 feet tall. The flowers are 6 inches across. They have a big yellow dot in the middle, hence the name fried egg poppy. The problem with fried egg poppies is they are thugs.
bullies. They take over a yard. My clients are told, if you don't have 6 or 7 acres, I'm sorry, I'm not participating in you picking that plant, because you won't be able to control where it chooses to go. Fortunately, most people only buy one Motilleja poppy. They don't know how to get it to grow, and it dies. And I view that as a blessing instead of a curse in most cases. If you actually want one to grow, I'll tell you right now, the secret is you hook it up to drip irrigation, and for the first year you pretend it's a hibiscus and treat it like it's an azalea or a hibiscus. And after 1 year, you pull the irrigation off of it and it will grow cross-country on its own. But don't put this in a regular-sized yard. Next time we'll talk about other plants I've learned to despise.
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Judy Reeves, award-winning author of 4 books on craft, including a writer's book of days. My guest is also a playwright, teacher, co-founder of 2 nonprofit literary organizations, and international conference presenter. Welcome, Judy. It's nice to see you.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Judy, you've been referred to as a writing practice provocateur. What does that mean to you, and how did you get started in this direction?
Provocateur is kind of a sexy word, I think. It really means a person who acts in a controversial way to get some kind of a reaction, which isn't really what I do, because I work with writing prompts. And so I want the prompts to get the reaction.
Right.
And so that's what the provocateur is about, is getting that kind of a reaction. And it actually came out of those writing practice groups that I started doing, 100 years ago, doing drop-in writing practice groups.
So talking a little bit about history, you're sort of a mainstay in San Diego. The 2 literary organizations that you helped create are the Writing Center and San Diego Writers, Inc. So from that perspective, what are the strengths and challenges of the San Diego writing community, and how have you seen it change over time?
Big sigh. Go back in history. To me, I've been around doing what I do for 20 years in San Diego, and you've been around that long too, and we were doing things before that. But
Right. As
a kind of an official, doing work officially in San Diego, I started the Writing Center 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I see is that we have this thriving community, that we have so many opportunities for writers in San Diego. San Diego Writers, Inc., which is what I've been involved in lately, the San Diego Book Awards, which everybody knows very well, the Southern California Writers Conference, 28 years now,
yes.
Writers and Editors Guild, Romance Writers of America, Children's Writers Association, all of these organizations. But then there are all these open mics opportunities that people can go to all over town. So we have a really lively community for writers of all levels, all stripes, whatever it is that you do. And I think that those are the strengths that we have as a writing community. And I think the challenge to that, I think it's a challenge to all kinds of community right now, and that's virtual. The temptation to go online, the temptation to be socially networked but not community connected. And I think there's so many opportunities also through the social networking and through the internet and all those ways that we can connect. But we can't lose that, eye to eye, heart to heart, face to face connection. And I think that's our real challenge now.
Right. Everything's in flux now.
Yeah. So we have to do both.
Right.
So what, and it's easy for writers to stay in their pajamas and stay in front of the computer. We all know that, too.
But we need that human contact.
Yeah, I think so.
So what are you working on now? What's your next book?
My next book. Could I be a singer? All my life I wanted to be a singer. I'm not a singer, so I'm writing a book in which my protagonist is a singer. She's a young girl, runs away from home, wants to be a singer. It's set in 1957-58, Kansas City, and it's called All That Isn't Singing. And I have jazz in there. I have, because of the time that it's set, I've got Kansas
Right.
City jazz in there. I've got the Beats, the Cuban Revolution, a lot of that. I'm on 4th draft.
Now, is this your first fiction?
No, or? I've written a lot of other fiction. One other novel, which is, the one that's under the bed. Everybody
okay.
has one of those.
Right.
Yeah, so this is my second novel, but I've written a lot of short stories. I do a lot of flash fiction. Yeah. But I take a long time to write a novel.
Well, we look forward to seeing it.
Thank you.
When will it be coming out? Do you know?
No, it's not finished yet. I'm on fourth draft.
Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Judy, our time is up, but thank you again for joining us. For more information on Judy Reeves and her work, please visit her website at www.judyreeveswriter.com. You can also follow her blog at livelymuse.com. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you've been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
Gunfire and a canine were deployed during the arrest of a fugitive in El Cajon last night. The fugitive rammed a police car and is now under arrest along with his companion. At 2 p.m. on July 30th, El Cajon police officers spotted the wanted fugitive, Ali Al-Kafaji, in the 1300 block of North Johnson. Officers in marked patrol units attempted to stop the vehicle, assisted by California Highway Patrol. According to police, the suspect intentionally rammed the police sergeant's vehicle and then accelerated toward the officer, the CHP officer who was out of his car on foot. According to Lieutenant Frank LaHaye, the suspect continued in the CHP officer's direction, attempting to run him over. The CHP officer, fearing for his life, fired several rounds at the suspect's vehicle. The suspect fled in the vehicle to Vernon Street, where he got out and fled on foot. Police established a perimeter and conducted a search. At 6 p.m., the suspect was found hiding beneath a vehicle on Gable Way in El Cajon. He was not injured from his earlier confrontation, but refused to comply with orders to surrender. A sheriff's canine was deployed to subdue the suspect. Al-Kafaji was bitten and, following his arrest, was treated for minor injuries before being booked into county jail. Al-Kafaji, age 27, is charged with two counts of assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer and with a parole violation. His companion, Dasha Elkerton, age 23, had remained in the vehicle. She was arrested for two outstanding felony warrants. No officers were injured during the incident. Anyone with information is asked to contact El Cajon Police Department at 619-579-3311. If you have information on the crime and wish to remain anonymous, you can contact Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477.
For KNSJ and East County Magazine, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. Saturday, August 3rd is the long-awaited KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso Radio Launch Party. The party, held at Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center, celebrates the start of a new, independent, people-powered community radio station in our region, which you are listening to right now. The station is dedicated to the news, arts, and culture of our region, including the East County Magazine radio show. Mix and mingle with radio hosts and celebrity guests in a spectacular natural setting. Enjoy live music, Native American flute players, delicious food and drinks, stargazing, museum tours, and a scavenger hunt, as well as a Golden Mike Awards presentation to leaders representing voices in our communities. Learn how you can have your voice heard on 89.1 Descanso in the heart of East County. Tickets can be purchased at www.knsj.org. The beautiful Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center is located at 1 Father Junipero Serra Drive in San Diego. San Pasquale Saturday Night Live Music features the Pushpins Band. Catch local live music at the San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in the La Mesa Village on La Mesa Boulevard on August 4th at 7 p.m. We are excited to include an upcoming event in this week's Destination East County that is a fundraiser for our own East County Magazine. Enjoy our barbecue and Wild West Fest in the countryside of beautiful Descanso on Saturday, August 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. We will have Western reenactors from both the Hole in the Wall Gang and the Gaskell Brothers Gunfighters, creating for you comedy skits and roving through the crowd. Pine Creek Posse Band will provide live music while guests enjoy a special tri-tip and chicken smoked barbecue dinner and browse the silent auction and drawing prizes. This event will benefit the wildfire reporting and emergency alerts that East County provides during the fire season and all year long. A featured family activity this week is Fun Believable Plays Family Fun Nights. Fun Believable Play is an indoor playground and party center in Lakeside. Their giant playground is suitable for children aged 0 to 12 years. Enjoy games, a movie, and other activities, Fridays from 5 to 8 p.m. They are located at Riverside Drive in Lakeside. The website is www.funbelievableplay.com. Wednesday night, it's ice skating at the Croc at 7:15 p.m. with special pricing. They also have a film on the field on July 31st at 7:30 p.m. Croc Center Recreation Field is located at the Salvation Army Croc Center on University Avenue, just outside of La Mesa in San Diego. Their website is www.croccenter.org. Experience Fly Days at Gillespie Field Cafe. Fly over to Gillespie Field Cafe for an afternoon of fun and watch the planes land and take off from inside the Gillespie Field Cafe. The cafe will host Fly Days every first Friday of the month. Enjoy live music, food, and more. The Gillespie Field Cafe is located at 2015 North Marshall Avenue in El Cajon. Cruise in the Lakes at Santee Lakes. This weekly car show with music and entertainment is held every Friday through October 3rd from 3 p.m. until closing. Also at Santee Lakes on Friday night, August 2nd, is Movies by the Lake with the movie Avengers, rated PG-13. On August 16th, they will be showing Rise of the Guardians. There are games and contests for kids at 7 p.m. and the movie starts at approximately 8 p.m. The location for both of these events, the car show and the movie, is Santee Lakes. Manny Cepeda performs salsa music this Friday evening, August 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Summer Concert Series. The concerts are held at the Macy's Courtyard in the Grossmont Center in La Mesa. There are raffle prizes every week during the band's first break, and each adult visitor receives one complimentary ticket. That's all for this week. See you around East County. Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. Saturday, August 3rd is the long-awaited KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso Radio Launch Party. The party, held at Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center, celebrates the start of a new, independent, people-powered community radio station in our region, which you are listening to right now. The station is dedicated to the news, arts, and culture of our region, including the East County Magazine radio show. Mix and mingle with radio hosts and celebrity guests in a spectacular natural setting. Enjoy live music, Native American flute players, delicious food and drinks, stargazing, museum tours, and a scavenger hunt, as well as a Golden Mike Awards presentation to leaders representing voices in our communities. Learn how you can have your voice heard on 89.1 Descanso in the heart of East County. Tickets can be purchased at www.knsj.org. The beautiful Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center is located at 1 Father Junipero Serra Drive in San Diego. San Pasquale Saturday Night Live Music features the Pushpins Band. Catch local live music at the San Pasquale Winery Tasting Room in the La Mesa Village on La Mesa Boulevard on August 4th at 7 p.m. We are excited to include an upcoming event in this week's Destination East County that is a fundraiser for our own East County Magazine. Enjoy our barbecue and Wild West Fest in the countryside of beautiful Descanso on Saturday, August 10th from 4 to 7 p.m. We will have Western reenactors from both the Hole in the Wall Gang and the Gaskell Brothers Gunfighters creating for you comedy skits and roving through the crowd. Pine Creek Posse Band will provide live music while guests enjoy a special tri-tip and chicken smoked barbecue dinner and browse the silent auction and drawing prizes. This event will benefit the wildfire reporting and emergency alerts that East County provides during the fire season and all year long. A featured family activity this week is Fun Believable Play's Family Fun Nights. Fun Believable Play is an indoor playground and party center in Lakeside. Their giant playground is suitable for children aged 0 to 12 years. Enjoy games, a movie, and other activities. Fridays from 5 to 8 p.m. They are located at Riverside Drive in Lakeside. The website is www.funbelievableplay.com. Wednesday night, it's ice skating at the Croc at 7:15 p.m. with special pricing. They also have a film on the field on July 31st at 7:30 p.m. Croc Center Recreation Field is located at the Salvation Army Croc Center on University Avenue, just outside of La Mesa in San Diego. Their website is www.croccenter.org. Experience Fly Days at Gillespie Field Cafe. fly over to Gillespie Field Cafe for an afternoon of fun, and watch the planes land and take off from inside the Gillespie Field Cafe. The cafe will host Fly Days every first Friday of the month. Enjoy live music, food, and more. The Gillespie Field Cafe is located at 2015 North Marshall Avenue in El Cajon. Cruise in the lakes at Santee Lakes. This weekly car show with music and entertainment is held every Friday through October 3rd from 3 p.m. until closing. Also at Santee Lakes on Friday night, August 2nd, is Movies by the Lake with the movie Avengers, rated PG-13. On August 16th, they will be showing Rise of the Guardians. There are games and contests for kids at 7 p.m. and the movie starts at approximately 8 p.m. The location for both of these events, the car show and the movie, is Santee Lakes. Manny Cepeda performs salsa music this Friday evening, August 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunset Summer Concert Series. The concerts are held at the Macy's Courtyard in the Grossmont Center in La Mesa. There are raffle prizes every week during the band's first break, and each adult visitor receives one complimentary ticket. That's all for this week. See you around East County.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
In East County, counting sheep isn't what you do to fall asleep. Earlier this month, volunteers braved 112-degree heat to participate in the 43rd annual Bighorn Sheep Count in the Anza-Borrego Desert State Park. The Peninsular Bighorn Sheep is an endangered species. Only about 950 of them remain in the United States, with another 2,000 or so in Mexico, according to the Bighorn Institute. In recent years, sheep populations in the Southwest have been stressed by drought, disease, and development encroaching on their habitat in rugged, rocky terrain. This year's count in Anza-Borrego had both good news and bad news. Coordinators Steve Beer and Mark Jorgensen report that this year, volunteers counted 332 bighorn, the second largest sheep count in the park's history. But the numbers don't tell the whole story. The count did not include some portions of the park where sheep populations are under the most stress, and at least two dead sheep were found during the count due to apparent dehydration. Darren Sefcik, a photographer who participated in this year's count, said there were not enough resources to count sheep in the southern end of the park. The southern area of the park borders the new Ocotillo Express wind facility, which fragments bighorn territory and produces infrasound that some environmentalists have warned could be disruptive to the sheep, possibly driving them out of that portion of their territory or preventing movement through the wind facility to reach water sources. The federal government delisted the wind site as critical bighorn habitat. After an East County Magazine investigation proved the existence of threatened bighorn on the site, complete with photos showing ear tracking tags, GPS information, and date stamps, the U.S. Department of Interior issued take permits to the developer Pattern Energy, allowing up to 10 bighorn ewes and lambs to be killed inadvertently with no liability to the wind project developer. This year's high count could be inflated due to sheep venturing into more visible locations in search of water, or perhaps moving away from those wind turbines in the south. Sefcik said that numbers this year were high, but only due to the drought, as the sheep were desperate for water. Then he revealed, "We had one dead at our site when we arrived, and another die during the first day of counting. It really is that bad right now. Many of the year-round reliable water sources have dried up." 20 locations were included in this year's count. The most sheep, 48, were found at First Grove Palm Canyon. Ironically, at Sheep Canyon, no sheep were found this year. If you would like to help improve the count for next year to reach more areas, you can get involved and volunteer to be a sheep counter at the annual count organized by the Anza-Borrego Foundation. For information, visit www.theabf.org. That's www.theabf.org.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso is on the air, people-powered radio. Please come to our official KNSJ launch party, Saturday, August 3rd, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the beautiful Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center.
Come mix and mingle with our radio hosts and our celebrity guests in a spectacular natural setting. Enjoy live music, Native American flute players, delicious food and drinks, stargazing, museum tours, and a scavenger hunt. Golden Mike Awards presented to leaders and activists representing voices in our communities that are underrepresented.
RSVP and buy tickets at www.knsj.org.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's live radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.